This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The cost and impact of GOP plans to replace Obamacare. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Lots of talk right now about the new House Republican plan to replace Obamacare. We want to get a sense of the impact on markets. David Kelly is Chief Global Strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds. David, if this plan or something like it were to become law, how would that affect business?
Well, there is a big broad positive for the stock market, at least, in reducing or eliminating the tax on net investment income for upper-income individuals. I think there will be some pressure on pharmaceutical companies to keep down prices. I think there'll be pressure on hospitals to keep down prices. But particularly insurance companies, I think, will have an interesting time. It's very hard to come up with any plan that everybody likes. The problem is that we're going to retain you can't discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions, but also get rid of the individual mandate. And if you do those two things at the same time, it's very hard for private insurance to really work. I mean, if you can call up the insurance company when your house is on fire and say, I'd like coverage now, it's obviously not a great insurance model. So I think the private insurance industry will have a very challenging time trying to fill the gap as you roll back Medicaid and as a rollback, actually, some of the mandate on employers providing health care coverage. We actually will need an expanded private insurance market. It's just not clear how that's going to work.
This morning, President Trump again promising action to bring down prescription drug prices. He's talked about this before. When he does, the stocks of pharmaceutical companies tend to go down. What is the future of pharma under the Trump administration?
I think it's going to be a little tricky because the problem is that, of course, increasing pharmaceutical prices are part of rising healthcare costs for everybody. And there are ways of introducing more competition, reimportation of drugs, allowing the government to negotiate more aggressively on drug prices, perhaps some changes to laws with regard to how long you can keep a drug before it goes generic. So there are going to be difficulties. I think there's going to be continued pressure on pharmaceutical companies as part of the overall cost structure, which is really a big problem for individuals and for the government here.
Okay, a lot to watch in the days ahead. David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds, thanks very much.
Anytime.
The election and its aftermath are raising new questions about fake news and skewed information with big consequences for politics and business. We wanted to get some insight from neuroscientist Daniel Levitin. His new book is Weaponized Lies, How to Think Critically in the Post-Truth Era. Here's the conversation with David Brancaccio.
You've thought a lot about this in business, in science, as citizens of a democracy. We have to sort out fact from fiction, but give me a sense of how our brain is wired to do this or sometimes to get it so wrong.
Well, our brain is wired to make quick and snap judgments, to work from the gut, and that's much to our detriment. We are influenced too much by shiny new objects and stories, and not enough by statistics, by thousands of data points that we would happily give up for a story from our brother-in-law.
People see the antidote to lies as data, but data requires critical thinking. And you're a man, though, who believes that critical thinking can be taught?
David, I've devoted the last 30 years of my life to education, and I believe that education works. And the good news is it works all across the economic and intelligence spectrum. I think it has to be taught and practiced, but I think our best defense against being taken advantage of by others who would want to take advantage of us is to employ evidence-based thinking.
At this current historical moment, you are re-releasing your book with, I think, a rowdier title. Now, first of all, you're making it clear that the right word is lies, but what are weaponized lies?
People have become a bit complacent, and they see these fake news stories and lies circulating around, and they forward them. And it's not just a matter of, isn't this an interesting story? Public health and sanity is at stake here. And I'm thinking of Pizzagate, right? Somebody wrote the lie that Hillary Clinton was running a child sex slave operation out of a pizza joint in suburban D.C., and some other person who read this got in his car and drove a couple of hundred miles there and then shot the place up with a semi-automatic weapon. And so the lie, rather than just being innocuous and a funny little story that people told, actually became weaponized.
And from a political point of view, the lie is certainly weaponized. It is a tool for possibly radically altering the public's perception in a way not based on fact.
Well, that's right. And I object to the term fake news, actually, because I think it sounds a little bit too gentle. I think we need to come together and just call it for what it is. They're lies.
Professor Daniel Levitin is a neuroscientist by training and has been teaching courses in critical thinking for over two decades here. Currently, he's founding dean of the Minerva Schools in San Francisco and distinguished faculty fellow at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business. Professor, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
We got more of their conversation, by the way, at marketplace.org. And finally, U.S. media companies have long called for China to allow more American films in theaters. Now, there may be a powerful new crusader for a more open market, martial arts star Jackie Chan. The actor said today in Beijing that foreign films provide competition that drives Chinese filmmakers to raise their game, which is good for the box office overall. China only lets in 34 foreign films a year. Hollywood wants to get more movies in theaters and a bigger take of ticket sales. China is now the world's second biggest movie market after North America. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.